It's time to take a look at the calculations involved with bonds. So we start Chapter 10, Bond Prices and Yields. And remember how boring Chapter 9 was, which was also Chapter 18 in 19 and 20? Well, this one's kind of the same. But at least we get to do some calculations. And it turns out, because bonds are fixed, that the calculations for predicting prices and the calculations for yields and the like are very straightforward. Let's start on slide number 2, bond yields. Bond yield is one of the most important factors in bond valuation. In other words, what income is the bond paying? Because over the long sweep of time, income is what you receive from investing in bonds. Remember, we call them fixed income securities. Although there are sometimes opportunities for capital gains and sometimes the risks of capital losses, but when the bond is redeemed, you are only going to get back the par value. That's it. And given that most all bonds repay their principal without incident, the valuations calculated using bond yields tend to be very predictable. Slide number 3. The unpredictable factor in bond valuation is the future direction of interest rates. In fact, folks, there are people who are paid tremendous sums of money to incorrectly predict where interest rates are going. Can you imagine if they actually could predict where they wouldn't have to work for anybody else. However, for the vast majority of people who hold on to their bonds until maturity, until they get their principal back, the direction of interest rates is not important to them. They are mostly interested in the income and are not generally affected by the direction of interest rates, since they have no intention of ever selling their bonds before they mature. They're buying the bonds for income. You are only concerned about changing interest rates if you intend or are forced to sell your bonds before they mature, because you know you're going to get your $1,000 back, right? Right. Slide number 4. Several types of bond yields. The first bond yield is the nominal rate. The coupon yield. That's the stated rate of the bond. That's how much the bond is paying and will always pay based on the original par value of 1,000. But there are other yields that we have to worry about. The current yield, the current rate, the interest rate of the bond given its current price, the yield to maturity, the rate if you intend to hold the bond until it matures, the yield to call, the rate if you hold the bond until it is called. We're going to learn how to compute these, along with the taxable equivalent yield for municipal bonds, the rate taking into account no federal income tax. And if your bond, your municipal bond, is based in your state, for us, California, double tax-free taxable equivalent yield, the rate taking into account no federal and no income tax. So you got your calculators out, or maybe your spreadsheet. Got your pencil, pen, and paper, because we're going to start doing some calculations. Slide number 5. The easiest one is the nominal yield, also called the coupon yield, the coupon rate, the nominal rate. Remember, why is it called coupons? Right, because you used to have to clip the coupon and send it in to get your interest. This is the named interest rate of the bond. That's what nominal means. So if I ask you, what is the nominal rate on an 8% bond, you say, 8%, right? It's like asking somebody, what's your name, Bob? Bob. The bond's annual interest rate divided by its par value. So what is the bond paying in absolute dollars? If you have a par value of $1,000, $80 worth of interest, well, that's 80 divided by 1,000, or 8%, or 1,000 times 8%. So if I tell you the nominal rate is 7%, you know you're getting $70 twice a year. You're getting $35 every 6 months. If the nominal rate is 10%, right, $100. Got that? make sure you understand, not 10 cents, it's not 10% of a dollar, it's 10% of $1,000. Some people get confused about that. Slide number 6. But the nominal yield is not as important as the current yield. That's the amount of current income a bond provides relative to its market price. The yield to maturity, the fully compounded rate of return earned by an investor over the life of the bond, this includes the current income and the price appreciation of a discount bond, or the price depreciation of a premium bond. It's also called the promise yield. I've never really heard that, but that's what the book says, so I'm going with it. Yield to call, the yield on a bond, assuming it will be called on the specified date sometime in the future. So, in other words, interest rates have fallen. There's a good chance that when the deferred call period is over, the entity is going to call in the bonds and refinance at a lower level. So we would never do this with discount bonds. That would mean they were refinancing at a higher level. They wouldn't do that. So let's learn how to calculate these. Slide number 7. Current yield. Here's the formula. And you have, there's a formula sheet on the website. You're going to want to hang on, have that at your disposal. You take the annual interest and you divide it by the current market price of the bond. Not the face value, because we didn't buy the bond at the face value unless we bought it and it happens to be selling at the face value. We bought it at the current market price. So here's an 8% bond, but instead of paying $1,000, we only have to pay $800. It's a discount bond. So you take the $80, 8% of $1,000, the original par value, divided by 800, and you get 0.1, or 10%. The named yield, the coupon rate, the nominal yield, the nominal rate, is 8%. But because the bond is selling at a discount, the current yield is actually 10%. Understand? If not, do it. Get your calculator out and take $80 of interest that we get every year, actually $40 twice a year, divided by 800, how much we had to pay for the bond, and we find that we're really currently getting 10% based on the current price. That's for a discount bond. Now, what if we have on slide number 8 a premium bond? Same 8% bond, but in this case we have to pay $1,200 for it. Ah, it's a little different, isn't it? You take the $80 divided by 1,200 and you get 0.06666666666, or approximately 6.67%. The nominal yield is again 8%, the coupon rate, the coupon yield, the nominal yield, the nominal rate, but because the bond is selling at a premium, the current yield is only 6.67% because we had to pay $1,200 to get that $80. Does that make sense? I hope so. So go ahead and do this. Go ahead and do it, and then pause it and let's continue. And there's a worksheet, obviously, two actually, and assignment, and they're all basically the same. They all basically do these calculations that we're doing right now. So slide number 9. The yield to maturity takes into account the price appreciation of the bond, if the bond is purchased at a discount, or the price depreciation of the bond if the bond is purchased at a premium. So remember, you might have purchased it as a discount, or you might have purchased it at a premium. But what's going to happen when you get your when the bond matures? What's going to happen when the bond's time to maturity has reached? When the bond is redeemed, we say. Yes, you're going to get $1,000 back. Whether you bought it at a discount or a premium, you're going to get $1,000 back. And there are two primary methods of calculation. Bond pricing formula discussed later, combined with an internal rate of return approximation, more accurate method, but difficult to do manually. That's why we have spreadsheets, right? If you have a spreadsheet, you just, I forget the exact, it's pretty easy to do in virtually any spreadsheet. Or when you don't have a spreadsheet handy, you use the yield to maturity approximation formula on the next slide. you know, it looks kind of scary, but it's actually fairly easy to use. And I took the Series 7 in 1998, and we, you know, you were supposed to do it then by hand. Yeah, we were allowed to have a calculator, not a scientific or financial calculator, a regular calculator, and do the formula this way. Slide number 10. Scary looking. No, it's not that hard. In fact, it's really the current yield. It's the same formula we just looked at with more terms added. Here's the annual interest, just as we had in the current yield formula. We take however many dollars the bond is paying. In this case, it's an 8% bond maturing in 10 years, and its price is $800. So remember two slides ago, it's the same bond, except now we know that it matures in 10 years, and we intend on keeping it for 10 years. And so that's $80, 8% of $1,000. Don't put 8 cents down, okay? And instead of dividing that by the current market value, we divide it by the average of the face value, the par value, they mean the same thing, and the market value. Because we're buying it at the market value, but we're going to receive the par value when the bond matures. Does this make sense? That's what the bottom part of the formula is adding. We're adding to that. Before, we just divided it by the market value. That gave us the current yield. But this is going to approximate the yield to maturity, so we're going to use the average of the par value and the market value. So if the par value is 1,000, it will always be 1,000 in this class. And our market value is 800. You take 1,000 plus 800 divided by 2, and you got your calculator. Some of you can do that in your head. It's $900. So the bottom part of the formula is 1,000 plus 800, 1,800 divided by 2, $900. Now, what's this bad boy up here? Huh? What's this crazy-looking thing? What is this doing right here? Well, actually, it's fairly straightforward. We're taking the par value, the face value, the $1,000, and subtracting what we had to pay for the bond, and then dividing it by the number of years until it matures. And what this does, folks, is this tells us how much every year, on average, every year is different because interest rates are bopping around all the time, but how much per year our bond is either going to appreciate if it's a discount bond toward the $1,000, or if it's a premium bond, how much it will depreciate toward the $1,000. So in this case, you take the par value, the face value, always 1,000, minus the market value, in this case, 800. That's $200, right? And you divide that by the number of years until the bond matures. Well, in this case, it's 10. So 1,000 minus 800 is 200 divided by 10. That's $20. So in other words, think about it. It's actually very straightforward. Every year, all the things being equal, and they never are, our bond is going to increase in value $20 until at the end of 10 years it will have gone back to 1,000. That's all that's doing. I know it looks scary, but it's actually very straightforward. So every year we're going to add an extra $20 to our income, so to speak. But we're not getting it in interest. We're getting it in bond appreciation. So you take 80 plus the $80 of interest that we do receive, plus the $20 of assumed capital appreciation. Now, will it go up $20 every year? No, the market price bounces all over the place. But on average, it's going to go up every 20 years until after 10 years, it'll be worth $1,000 again. And that's $100 divided by 900, the average of the market value and the face value. And you wind up with 0.11111 or 11.1%. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the yield to maturity. Now, slide number 11 is the same deal, but now for a premium bond. It's the same 8% bond maturing in 10 years, but now we had to pay a premium, $1,200. So the same $80, but this time we take $1,000, the par value, plus the market value, and divide that by 2, So 1,000 plus 1,200 is 2,200 divided by 2, 1,100. And many of you can do that in your head. 1,000 plus 1,200, what's the average of those two numbers? Right, in between 1,100. And then over here, we take 1,000 minus 1,200, but now what? Negative numbers. Can you handle negative numbers? It's a minus 200. Divided by 10 is minus 20. So essentially, we're taking $20 away every year. We start with the bond at a cost of $1,200, our market price, but then every year it goes closer and closer and closer to $1,000 until when we redeem the bond, it redeems for $1,000. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's actually very straightforward. So this bond is paying us on a yield to maturity basis 5.45% approximately. Cool, you can do that. Slide number 12. Now, wait a minute. Now we're going to ask ourselves. The current yield on our 8% discount bond selling at $800 was 10%, but the yield to maturity was 11.1. And the current yield of our 8% premium bond selling for $1,200 was 6.67, but the yield to maturity was 5.45. How is that possible? What's going on? Well, I've described it to you already. It is actually very straightforward. The discount bond was purchased at $800, but will be redeemed at $1,000. The premium bond was purchased at $1,200, but again, will be redeemed at $1,000. You don't get the market price, you get the original par value. The yield to maturity takes into account the bond appreciation from the discount price up to the par value, or the bond depreciation from the premium price down to the par value. Make sense? If not, do the calculations again. And as you do them, it should make sense. Now, slide number 13 is our yield to call. It's the same idea as yield to maturity. In fact, it's almost exactly the same formula. It takes into account the possibility of the bond being called away from us, being redeemed by the bond issuer before the maturity date, saying, look, folks, we're paying you 8 or 9% and interest rates now are 5. We're going to refinance. We're going to give you back your $1,000 or whatever. It might be $1,030, it might be $1,050. You might have to pay a call. They might have to pay a call premium to you. But then they're going to reissue the bonds at lower interest rates, just as a homeowner would refinance their home loan. And this is only used on premium price bonds, folks. A bond issuer would never call in discount bonds. That would mean they would be refinancing at a higher rate. Why would they? They wouldn't do that. They just wouldn't do that. So it's only for premium bonds. Again, there are two methods of calculations. The one that we'll discuss later with the internal rate of return, right? That's why we have spreadsheets. And then the one that they'll probably ask you on the Series 7 if you take it, and just the one that's very easy for us to do, it's an approximation using the same formula, the yield to maturity formula, but instead of using the par value, we use the call price. And instead of using the years to maturity, we use the years to call. So on slide number 14, we see that it's exactly the same formula, but we replaced the par value with the call value. In other words, we might have to pay a premium, or not we're going to get paid the premium by the bond issuer, the corporation or the municipality. The federal government has never issued callable bonds. That doesn't mean that they won't in the future, but they just have never done it. And so we replace the par value with the call value in the top term and the bottom term, and then we replace the number of years to maturity with the number of years to call. So here's our same 8% bond that we paid $1,200 for. It matures in 10 years, but the call deferral period ends in 5 years. And since interest rates are down to 5, 4, 5%, we have a pretty good inkling that they're going to call away the bond from us. But when they do call away the bond, they have to pay $1,085. There's an $85 call premium to call away the bonds. So we do the same calculation. Instead of using 1,000, 1,085, and instead of using the number of years to maturity, that was 10, we're going to use the number of years to call, and that's 5. And if you do all that calculation, you get approximately 5%, 4.99. Go ahead and do it. Make sure you get that. So The yield to call in slide 15 was less than the yield to maturity, and this is typical. Why? Because if the bonds are called away, we would have less time to take advantage of the outsized interest income payments that we are getting because we have a premium bond. Make sense? Yeah. Go back over it and make sure. Slide number 16. Now, let us turn our attention to muni bonds. We discussed the taxable equivalent yields back in Chapter 9, but we didn't calculate them. We're going to calculate them now. Tax-exempt, tax-free yield. Well, the IRS doesn't like it when we use the term tax-free. Since municipal bonds are free from federal taxes, in order to effectively compare muni bonds to other bonds, we need to compute the taxable equivalent yield. Because you might say, here's a 6% muni bond. Here's an 8% corporate bond. Well, it sounds like the 8% corporate bond is a better... maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We have to compute the taxable equivalent yield, and that way we will know. There are two taxable equivalent yields. There's the federal taxable equivalent yield. That's for all muni bonds. And then there's the double tax-free taxable equivalent yield for muni bonds that are free of both federal taxes and the investor's state income taxes. So for us, that would be California, right? California double tax-free bonds do not charge income tax. It should say do not charge income tax to California resident investors. Okay? So let's calculate first the taxable equivalent yield on slide number 17. The investor is in a 25% tax bracket. And how do you know? Well, you need to look it up, folks. We talk about this in the Business 121 class, the financial planning class. Everybody has a marginal tax bracket, and this investor is in the 25% bracket. So they buy a muni bond paying 6%. What is the taxable equivalent yield? You take the 6%, 0.06, and you divide that by 1 minus the marginal tax rate, the tax bracket, 0.25. That 1 is really 100%, and the 0.25 is really 25%, but you don't type that in your calculator. So if you do that, 0.06 divided by 1.0 minus 0.25 gives you 0.08. And so what does that tell us? That tells us that you would have to go out and find a corporate bond, a fully taxable corporate bond, paying at least 8% to give you the same after-tax yield as the muni bond that's paying 6%. Right. You understand what's going on? Well, think about it. The fully taxable corporate bond you're going to have to pay taxes on. So you get $80. But if you're in the 25% tax bracket, multiply the 80 times 25%, and that's 20 bucks. Yeah, you see why the 6% is the same? The 6% muni bond, you get to keep that whole $60. Uncle Sam doesn't put his hand in your pocket and take any of it away. And the higher the tax bracket, go ahead and do it for 35% and do it for 10%. The higher the tax bracket, the more valuable the muni bond is. Remember we said that muni bonds are very popular with high net worth individuals, right, high income people, exactly. And if you're only in the 10% bracket, well then it's not really worth that much to you. It'd be better to get the 8% bond. Slide number 18. Now we're going to compute the double tax exempt, the double tax free. The formula on the previous slide only takes into account federal income taxes. If the municipal bond is free of both federal and state income taxes, double tax free, then the taxable equivalent yield will be higher. Now the formula on the next slide assumes that you itemize deductions, or the investor itemizes deductions, on their federal income taxes and deducts state income taxes, which is very typical for most muni bond investors. They have lots of write-offs on Schedule A. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. We discussed that in the financial planning class, but you should educate yourself. It's Chapter 3 if you want to go in there and take a look at how to do a Schedule A. If you don't itemize deductions, then the taxable equivalent yield is actually a little higher. But for most people in the high income brackets, they are itemizing deductions. So slide number 18. It's the same formula, except what we've done, we've taken the muni bond yield, divided it by 1 minus the federal rate plus the state rate. Now what's this? Well, this takes into account the fact that they don't pay, most of these people, they get to deduct their state income taxes. So they don't pay taxes on the state income taxes. Huh? Go to look at, you know, Schedule A in Chapter 3 of Financial Planning and Money Management. So that's why we have this extra times the 1 minus the federal rate. So you take the state rate times 1 minus the federal rate. Now, I should have put another pair of parentheses right in here, folks, because you do the state rate times 1 minus the federal rate first. Don't add these two together first. Remember, you always do multiplication first. Well, I always like to have I should put an extra pair of parentheses in there just to make sure we don't make a mistake. And so if we're in the 25% federal bracket, the 8% state bracket, we take 6% divided by 1 minus 0.25 plus 0.08, but remember first multiply the 0.08 times 1 minus the federal bracket again, the 75%, and that's 25.25 plus 0.06. And what is that? 0.25 plus 0.06 is 0.31. Make sure you do it. Come on. Get your calculator out. 1 minus 0.31 is 0.69. 0.06 divided by 0.69 is 8.7. So that 6% bond to a California investor, providing they're in the 25% or 8% rate, is worth 8.7%. These calculations are not that hard, and you need to do them because they may be on an exam, and they certainly are part of your assignment, and there are two worksheets. So you have plenty of practice, folks. You do them enough, and you'll be very, very ready to tackle the world and tell everybody that you know how to compute current rate, yield to maturity, yield to call, taxable equivalent yield for both federal and state. Cool? All right. When we come back, we'll finish up our discussion of bonds with the discussion of bond spreads and a formula that should look very, very familiar for valuing bonds. See you next time.